A lesson for the morning, then, is the devotion of Ruth. Text is Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 through 17, which reads as follows in the Bible. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." God bless the reading of his word, and let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and to base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, the book of Ruth is the account of the courtship of Boaz and Ruth. In other words, Ruth is a love story written from a woman's perspective. Now, the plot of the book is based upon the premise of the Levirate marriage defined in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 through 9, which reads, "If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, 'My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a duty of my husband's brother.' Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, 'I do not want to take her,' then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, 'So it shall be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house.'" So now, once an Israelite woman married according to the Old Testament, she was the responsibility of the family of her husband for the rest of her life. The Israelite economy was predominantly agricultural, with the land and crops grown being the predominant value. And the majority of landowners in Israel are men, but the Lord made allowances for unmarried women to be independent, as he decrees in Numbers chapter 27, verse 1 through 11. The Bible says, then came the daughters of Zeholophad, the son of Hepner, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these were the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord in company with Korah, but he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers, and cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest relative closest to him in his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel a statute of judgment, just as the Lord commanded Moses. So now, based upon the passages of Scripture that we have reviewed, God's judgment is that that in marriage, husband and wife become one flesh, so the inheritance of a husband would belong to a wife as well. Now, generally, an inheritance would pass from father to son. But in the case in which there is no son, the inheritance can pass to an unmarried daughter. If there is neither son nor unmarried daughter to inherit, and the wife does not want to be responsible for the inheritance, the nearest kinsman becomes responsible to take over the inheritance, as well as becoming responsible for the welfare of the spouse and children of the man who has died. So now, the story of the book of Ruth begins with Elimelech, a man of the tribe of Judah, who is married to a woman named Naomi and has two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. During one of the periods of God's wrath against Israel, God sent a famine to the land, and Elimelech decided to leave his land in the Bethlehem area and move to Moab because there was no famine in Moab. Now, during the 10 years that Elimelech's family lived in Moab, Elimelech died, his sons married Moabite women, and then the sons died, leaving Elimelech's wife Naomi and her two daughters-in-law on their own as widows. And after the death of her husband and sons, Naomi heard that the famine was over in Israel, so she decided to go back home. Her two daughters-in-law initially decided to return to Israel with her, but Naomi dissuaded them. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my wombs that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So, now, based upon the law of Levirate marriage that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 through 10, Naomi's daughters-in-law could marry Naomi's sons if Naomi was able to remarry and have more children. At Naomi's age, however, it was unlikely that this would be the case. So she quite reasonably encouraged the young women to return to their parents' families in Moab, a place in which they would be much more likely to find someone to marry and take care of them. Now, one of the daughters-in-law took Naomi's pragmatic advice, but the other one, Ruth, had a personal conversion that changed her in a way that did not allow her to do what Naomi advised. Ruth converted from the worship of the Moabite idol to the worship of the true God, the God of Israel, and as such, she refused to return to the Moabite manner of worship in favor of going to Israel to worship God. Ruth said to Naomi in the passage of Scripture that is often quoted at weddings, Ruth 1, 16 and 17, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Now, this passage of Scripture is not actually the quotation of a bride talking to her intended husband, but a widow talking to her widowed mother-in-law. In context, it has nothing to do with a wedding, but the devotion expressed is appropriate for any two people joining their lives together, for a husband and wife, or for a widowed daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. So now, as the story continues, Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem. The people of the city welcome them, and Naomi's kinswomen are excited to resurrect the relationship that they and Naomi once had. Naomi, however, is bitter about her Moabite experience. Speaking to her former friends in Ruth chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, Naomi says, but she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" In the Hebrew, the name Naomi means pleasant, but the name Mara means bitter. Naomi was full from the standpoint of family when she left Bethlehem, in that she had a husband and two sons, but she returned to Bethlehem empty as a childless widow with only a daughter-in-law, Ruth, as a companion. But Ruth proves to be quite an industrious companion. She did not sit around and commiserate about her misfortune, but recognized that she, as the younger, stronger member of the duo, should assume the responsibility to take care of both herself and her mother-in-law. Now, God makes provision for the poor and widowed in his word. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17 through 22 describes, "You shall not perverse justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing." So God tells the Israelites that the fact that they were slaves in Egypt and experienced the brutality of their Egyptian masters should make them aware of the proper way to treat unfortunate people for whom God gives them responsibility. Since the bounty that the Israelites receive from their agriculture is not because of the Israelites' skill in farming, but because of God's blessing upon the land, God commands the Israelites that receive this blessing to bless someone else, namely the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, by leaving some of the harvest for the less fortunate to pick up and live on. So Ruth and Naomi returned to Bethlehem at the time of the harvest, and Ruth recognized that she should avail herself of gainful employment by utilizing God's provision, by going into the fields and following the reapers, picking up the grain that the reapers left. She asked Naomi's permission to do so, and Naomi told her to go ahead. Now, providentially, Ruth found herself gleaning, which is the process of picking up grain, which is what the process of picking up this grain is called, in a field of a man to whom her husband was related. Now, Ruth was obviously very attractive because the man that owned the field noticed her immediately when he came to oversee his operation. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?'" Now, during the harvest, the fields are full of people gathering grain. In our own country, thousands of migrant workers come from outside of the country to pick fruit and harvest produce. And for a landowner to recognize one particular worker is extraordinary. But there was something about Ruth that caught Boaz's attention. And once the hiring officer explained Ruth's pedigree to Boaz, Boaz told Ruth about his interest in her. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 2, verse 8 through 12, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So Ruth fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Now, Boaz was initially attracted by Ruth's appearance, but after hearing her story, Boaz found himself appreciating the character that Ruth displayed by returning with Naomi in order to worship the God of Israel, and then going to work to support the two of them rather than relying on her mother-in-law for support. Boaz found Ruth's industry commendable and decided to take special care of Ruth and spend time with her, as Ruth chapter 2, verse 14 through 18 tells us. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she was gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. Now when Ruth showed Naomi the fruit of her labor, Naomi was pleasantly surprised by the large quantity of grain that Ruth was able to obtain through gleaning. Naomi asked Ruth in whose field she was gleaning. And when Ruth informed Naomi that she was gleaning in Boaz's field, Naomi told Ruth to stay close to Boaz. Now Naomi recognized that Boaz was attracted to Ruth because of the amount of grain that Boaz was making it possible for Ruth to gather. And Boaz is a contemporary of Elimelech, and thus would be closer to Naomi's age than Ruth's. But Naomi recognized, however, that Boaz would be much more likely to respond positively to a redemption request from the younger and more attractive Ruth than from Naomi herself. Now, a kinsman could not be forced to redeem his relative's wife. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 7 through 9 reads, But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate of the elders and say, My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, So it shall be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. Now Naomi decided that their economic and family problems would be solved if the younger and more attractive Ruth could persuade Boaz to redeem her, as Boaz was obviously attracted to Ruth, and it was much more likely that Ruth could give Naomi a grandchild with Boaz than that Naomi could bear a child herself. So Naomi instructed Ruth, beginning in Ruth chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. She said, Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And Ruth said to Naomi, All that you say to me, I will do. So now Ruth goes to the threshing floor to comply with Naomi's plan because both of them are sure that Boaz will respond positively to Ruth's overture. Ruth chapter 3, verse 6 through 13 tells us, "So Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drank, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, 'Who are you?' So she answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative.' Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning.'" So now, having the attractive, aromatic Ruth at his feet for a night motivates Boaz to bring the matter of Ruth's redemption to a swift resolution within the constraints of the law of God. Boaz goes to the city gate, which is like going to the barbershop in the black neighborhood where all the fellas show up to discuss current events. And before long, the kinsmen near to Naomi and Ruth came through. Boaz stopped him and assembled 10 of the leading men of the town to ratify the decision. Boaz made it clear that he wanted to redeem Naomi's land that belonged to Elimelech, but that he could not do it because the other man was the nearest kinsman and had the first choice of whether or not to redeem the land. And while the near kinsman was initially willing to take the land, he changed his mind when he found out he would have to marry or at least take care of Naomi and Ruth to get the land. So Boaz agreed to redeem them. Ruth chapter 4, verse 9 through 17 tells us, "And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day.' And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman.' So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, 'There's a son born to Naomi.' And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." So Ruth brought virtue to Israel as she was seeking to worship God, willing to take care of her mother-in-law, and eager to work. God gave Ruth a job which enabled her to take care of her mother-in-law, after which God gave Ruth a husband and a son whose grandson became the greatest king of Israel. And although Boaz was initially attracted to Ruth because of her beauty, he decided to marry her because it is a great blessing to have a virtuous woman, which Ruth showed herself to be by her actions, the description of which is detailed in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31, which says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? for her worth is far among rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Ooh. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for this lesson in the book of Ruth, and we ask you, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this story of the interaction between men and women as you have shown us how you redeem, how you've redeemed Israel from the famine and then how you redeemed Ruth and Naomi from barrenness and death and gave them new families, gave Ruth a new husband and gave Naomi a grandchild. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would help us as we go through this life to remember that you are our Redeemer. And that when we have situations and circumstances that we can remember that you are able to conquer, change, or control any circumstance. And now, Lord, we thank you for all that in the house today. We ask you to give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you are still with us, that you have brought us through another week, that you have allowed us to navigate the circumstances of this life, and that you have gathered us under the authority of your word one more time. And we want to thank you that you kept us all, that you've never left us, that you brought us through. Praying for Dr. Allen and his concerns, for his organization, and for Brother Quarterman, who is doing well after his heart transplant. And we want to thank you, Lord, that he was able to hold on until that was possible to be done and that he's doing well. We're still in prayer for Brother Uatt, and we're asking you that you continue to bless him and bless his family and bring them closer to a saving knowledge of you. Now we're praying for Dr. Allen's new grandson, who's not quite so new anymore, but we just ask you that you bless his father and his mother and the grandson, that they might continue to grow and prosper. Now we're praying for Sister Allen this morning, Lord, who's under the weather, and we're asking you, Lord, that you would go in that sick room and that you would touch her body with your finger of love and cool, scorching fever and relieve pain and give her the activities of her limbs and keep her in her right mind, that she might be able to continue to lead those whom she is leading in that family and teach them the right way to go. praying for those whom she's asked us to pray for her husband, Lord, for her parents. We ask you that you would continue to give Sister Ethel Artis strength as she endeavors to raise those great-grandchildren that she's raising, that you would give her that which she requires. Give her the patience that she needs as well as the strength that she needs to take care of that responsibility. We're praying for her son who was in the hospital this week and has returned home, and we're asking that you continue to go with him and stand by him, help him to keep a close check on his health as well, and allow him to do that, which will benefit him as he's out here. Now, we're also praying for her son, her other son, and for her daughters, praying for her dad, and we're praying for their store over there, Demetrius Ruffles and Lace. We ask you that you continue to prosper them and allow them to stay in business and make a profit and be able to take care of themselves and their family. Also praying for Sister Heather Platter, whose parents have both passed away in the recent past. We ask you, Lord, that you give her stability of mind, help her to understand that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God, and when the conditions seem as though they are at their worst, that's the time to draw nearer and not to run farther away. We also ask you, Lord, that you bless all that are on her list that she's asked us to pray for as well. And Lord, I'm praying for Brother Paul as she travels up and down a dangerous highway. We're asking you, Lord, that you give him traveling mercies, that you take him from here to there and to all the places that he has to go safely. We ask you that as he travels from location to location, providing technical solutions, that you give him the best solutions that can be given, that those who use his services might be satisfied, pleased, and that they might boost him up and increase his business as well. Now, we're praying for Rachel Deemer's mother. We're asking that you bless in that eventuality. Just stay with the family and help them to all join hands around her. We're continuing to pray for her recovery. Also, for Mother Z, we thank you, Lord, that she has been able to return to the workforce on a part-time basis, that she's recovered from her surgeries, and she has at least partial use of all of her hands and those faculties. And we're asking that you continue to go with her and stand by her. Praying for Brother Tyson and Mother Versa, for Mother Johnny Mae Wills. We're asking that you would continue to bless Teresa and bring her pregnancy to a successful conclusion. We're asking, Lord, that you continue to regulate Wendy Thompson's mind, fix her heart that she might be able to function in her occupation as well. Lord, we're praying for Rick, who's over in Iraq this morning, and we're asking you, Lord, that you would keep him safe from the bombs, from the bullets, and from the guns. Allow him, Lord, to go through and do the good job that he's doing in such a way that he will be able to return back home safely. Keep him out of the doctor's offices and all the places where the wounded go, and allow him, Lord, safety as he's in a very dangerous place. We continue to pray for Nikki Owens and Sarah Roberts. We're asking you, Lord, that you would go with Brian as he is involved in a divorce. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would intervene in that situation, that you would give him peace of mind, that you would bless his situation and allow there to be some way for he and his wife to see clear, to reconcile their situation. I know they've gone a long way down the road, Lord, but until it's final, Lord, we know that you have the ability to turn it around. So we ask you, Lord, that you would let their circumstances be such that it would draw them together rather than driving them apart. We pray there are blessings on them. And we're also praying for Eric and Amanda, who are planning to get married soon. We're asking that you intervene in that situation and just draw them together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Blessing all that they have to do, help them to resolve all of their issues and situations before the blessed day comes, and then allow them to join their lives together in peace and in harmony. Now, we're also praying. We thank you that Brother Edward was able to make it back over the dangerous highways, been traveling for quite a while, and we thank you that he and his sons have been able to go to the tournaments that they've gone to and acquit themselves well and not be injured, but to come back home safely. And we thank you for them, and are continuing in prayer for Sister Carruthers. We're asking that you bless in her case with her double heart bypass, that you would allow her heart to heal itself, as the doctors have done what they can do, but we know that You are the one that knits bones and sinews and organs together. Also praying, also thanking you, Lord, for the recovery of Brother Paul Morgan as he's recovering from his knee surgery and is doing well now. Continuing in prayer for the Fullers over across the street for Shenora's, and we ask you that you would allow them to retire that economic situation in a profitable way that they might be able to grow and develop from the store, and let them carry on with their next venture, whatever it may happen to be. Praying for Brother Lee and for those whom he's asked us to pray for his son who's in Ireland. We just ask you, Lord, that you would allow him to enjoy his educational time over there, and that as he wanders around Europe, that you would keep him away from any negative influences and then bring him back to the United States of America safely at the appointed time. We pray for Cedric as well, and we ask you that you go with him and stand by him as he is facing the challenge of middle school, and we ask you that you give him that which he requires to do so well. Praying for Brother Mike Pillow, we're asking you that you continue to bless him. For Sister Janet Teddy, that you bless her as well. Sister Erin Marsh and Sister Coley Robinson, Brother Coley Robinson, we just ask you that you bless in all those cases where healing is the need, that you provide that according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We're praying also for Sister Lizzie Mae Davis and Brother Benny Davis, relatives of a co-worker of his who are in various medical emergencies. And we ask you, Lord, that you would go into those sick rooms and that you would let your healing powers flow in there, that you would allow Brother Davis to recover from his burns and give him activity of his limbs once again. And we pray that you would keep Sister Lizzie Mae Davis. Even though the doctors have given up, we know that man has the first say, but that you have the last say. We thank you that you kept her here for her family as long as you have, and we ask you that you would continue to smile on her as well. Now we're praying for the McClures this morning. We ask you that you give Sister McClure traveling mercies as she faces coming home from Washington, D.C., that you keep the plane flying and let all go well in the airports and in the travel back from wherever she has to, whatever airport she comes back from, that you give her traveling mercies and safety until she arrives home once again. We pray for Janelle, who's traveling throughout the country and just flying in and out. And we thank you that she was able to fly in for a few hours to visit with her father here. And we ask you that you keep her safe on her way back to St. Louis, that she might be able to continue in her educational pursuits there. We're praying for JJ down in Kentucky. And we're asking you, Lord, that you keep his mind focused, allow him to have a steel trap mind, that whatever the professor says down there, that he would be able to capture it, so that when the test time comes, he will be able to give it back to the professor in the same way that the professor gave it to him, that his grades might be excellent and that all that he does might be superior. Just continue in prayer for Veronica Holy, and we thank you, Lord, that Brother Kraft, although still recovering, is about to come back to work part-time. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would bless him, give him strength, give him that which he needs to be able to go through this experience. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed him to recover as far as he has. And we ask you, Lord, that you would complete the recovery on his behalf. And we thank you, Lord, for Brother McClure as he is still in town holding up the bloodstained banner. Now, Lord, we're praying for the Winston family. For Sister Winston, we thank you that she's here today, and we're also thanking you for her husband who has come out this morning. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless him as he has a discomfort in his back. But we know that you can align bones and let sinews fall into the right position, put everything back as it is supposed to be. So we ask you that you would give him comfort and reconstruct him in such a way that he will have the strength that he has had, that he would be able to go back and take care of all of his business as well. We pray for this son who is learning about you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of his understanding, that you would allow the truth of Jesus Christ to sink deeply into his heart, that you'd allow that the wicked ways of this world might not affect him, but that he might be able to see through the wiles of the devil and recognize that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. We continue in prayer for Sister Donna Powell and for Sister Lynn Porter, and we ask you that you bless that family as well. Now, Lord, I'm praying for Dad as he's flying in from the coast, and we ask you, Lord, that you let the plane land safely and allow them allowed him to have had a good time on the seven seas, out on the cruise. We just ask you, Lord, that all that you let all go well, let them go get well, get back home well, and continue to enjoy life down there in Chicago. Pray for Naomi as well, and we ask you that you continue to bless her and lengthen out her days and allow her to enjoy them as well. Praying for Marvin, who's in charge of those college students on the East Coast. And we ask you, Lord, that as he is in his professorial position, that you would give him wisdom, that you give him skill, that you give him knowledge, that he might be able to guide and direct his department in such a way to the benefit of the students. Praying for Sister Frazier, Brother McGill, for Sister Morgan, and for the Northerns in Houston and the Perkins in Lafayette, Louisiana. We ask you that you bless those young men as they are raising young families and as they are teaching college students. And we ask you that you continue to go with them and stand by them, allow them to align their families in such a way that will be to your glory, and help them to help those children that are under their care, not just to know only the academics, but to come to a saving knowledge of you. We pray for Brother Sifford, who's in Iraq as a chaplain. We're asking you, Lord, that he be able to give the good word to the troops, that when they go out on patrol and all the things that they have to do, that they might be able to understand the reality in serving you, even in the position where they're in. And we continue to pray for Brother Russell, who's out in White Hills. Now we're praying for Sister Diane Flanagan, who we're very glad to see today, and for her son, who has successfully completed a football season even after you allowed him to recover from his first serious leg injury. We just ask you, Lord, that you just go with that young man, allow him to continue to grow and develop, that you keep his body strong and that you keep his mind strong as well, and allow him, Lord, to not just play ball, but to learn all the things that he needs to learn, that he might be able to have a profitable career in high school and move on to a good college after that. We continue to pray for Sister Flanagan and her and the rest of her family, her husband and her other son. Just go with them and stand by her. Just go with them and stand by them. In your name we pray. Now, Lord, we pray for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for those who are still in town as victims of the hurricane and those who are providing with relief. We're praying for those who are serving our country at home and abroad in the armed forces. We ask that you bless in all those cases, give them safety, give them skill, give them courage in the face of battle, and allow them to do that which would make us proud and make them proud as well, and then bring them home safely at the end of their tours. We pray for the young men and women in this neighborhood and for the salvation of all of our family and friends that might not know you in the pardon of their sins. And Lord, now I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life, and I ask you, Lord, that you would bless her, that as she goes back to work this week, that you would allow that which she has to do to come easy to her, that you allow those challenging situations over there, that you give her solutions for them that she's able to implement quickly, and that she might not be stressed by all the things going on, but that she might be able to come home and relax and enjoy life. We just ask you, Lord, to bless all that have to go back this work, but bless her in particular. And now, Lord, we thank you for this little place that you've given us here, these tools and these things that we might be able to impart your word to somebody and let it go forth and let it bless somebody's heart. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The inclusion of the love story of Ruth in the Bible lets us know that God is not only concerned about the kings and the potentates and the wars and the great things of the world, but that he's concerned about us even to the details of our romances and our love lives and our marriages, and that the Lord Jesus Christ did not just come down that those who are high and mighty might hear the word, but that all might be saved. Jesus is concerned about us from the beginning to the end of all of the things that we do. He watches all that we do. And let us watch him this week. Let us remember that which we know about him as we go to and fro, dealing with the mundane matters of life as well as the mighty ones. Let us remember all that Jesus Christ did for us in his sacrifice on the cross. And let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.